Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 1st, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Jesus Meets Peter, and it's the third message in the series Jesus Meets. Our text comes to us from John chapter 21, verses 4 through 9 and 15 through 17. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
We've been looking at Jesus' appearances after the resurrection. And today we're looking at a very particular person. His name is Peter. We need to talk about Peter and what that represents to you and to me. We have communion today, so my remarks will be shorter, but of course that means they will be longer, because you never believe a preacher when he says it's going to be short. And you cannot believe him when he says this is my last point. But anyway, so this is the communion cup that you have, and we will use that at the end. And those who are looking at us through the internet, just be prepared for that. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's see it in the screen at this time. We're looking at John 20, and some very important verses that come up to you and to me. And let's follow along as I read it. Early in the morning, it's John 21, 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. I want Jesus to go fishing with me. Let's move on. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They didn't leave the fish behind, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they had landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread. Verse 15, we jump all the way to 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and that you would address the issues of our heart. Holy Spirit, help us to catch what we need to learn today and help us put it together and help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter met the Lord Jesus many times after the resurrection. He was with the disciples when Thomas wasn't there, when Jesus appeared to them in John 20, 19 through 29. He also appeared to Peter alone in Luke 24, 34. And there might have been other times when Jesus appeared to Peter, because in Acts 1, 3, it says, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. But John 21 is a remarkable conversation between Peter and the risen Christ. Remarkable, remarkable. Seven of the disciples, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, and two other unnamed disciples are in John 21 too, were fishing. They fished through the entire night in the Sea of Galilee, but didn't catch anything. And while there was still no water, Jesus appeared on the shore. It's a song called Jesus is on the Shoreline. I don't know if you know that chorus or not. Thank God I don't sing, because if I sang, I would sing that. But then if I could sing, you would like to hear it. But since I don't sing, you're happy that I'm not singing. But it's Jesus is on the Shoreline. Luke 5 recounts another episode of the disciples that were fishing. Very similar and yet similar to the one that we've just talked about. In both cases, the disciples were out there at sea in a boat fishing, worked all night, and had nothing to look for. They caught nothing. And in both cases, Jesus told them to throw their nets on the other side of the water, of the boat. And each time they did that, the result was an enormous, miraculous catch of fish. In Luke 5, Peter responds by saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That's in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. But here in John 21, he does the very opposite. He jumps into the water and struggles to go to shore, trying to get as close to Jesus as possible, as fast as he can. See, the claims of Jesus, the risen Savior, the claims of Christ, if they're true, it never evokes a moderate response. How do I say this? Well, Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." Jesus said he had come to earth to give himself for us, that we could love God and serve God. If that is a true fact, then this is a call for total allegiance. How dare we not serve the risen Savior, the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings? How can you possibly ignore that claim by doing nothing? So today I can say that you and I either run away screaming in anger and fear, or we go towards him with joy and love and fall down on our face and say, "I will serve you, Lord. Lord, I am yours." There is no middle ground. And if there is a middle ground that you have found, you don't know who Jesus is. But once you know who Jesus is, you either reject him or you fall down on your knees and say, "Lord, I am yours." So Peter had done both things. In the first incident of the boat, he was a sinner. And let me tell you, he said, "I'm a sinner, get away from me." But in the second time, he realizes that Jesus is the Son of God and that things are different from the first time that he saw Jesus in the shoreline. We can say that there's a great deal of unfinished business that Jesus has with Peter. And this is a remarkable passage as John writes to us and tells us what happened. Here we have this man, Peter, who had denied the Lord three times, who had cursed at Jesus when they said to him, "You're one of those who were hanging around with Jesus. You're one of those Galileans, but we can detect it from your accent. You were with that bunch," and they were about to crucify Jesus. And Peter said, "I don't know that man." And the second time, "Yeah, you are one of them." "No, I don't know him." And the third time when they said, "Isn't that Jesus? Aren't you with him?" Peter cursed at Jesus. He swore at Jesus. He cursed him. And then, you know what happened. The cock crowed. He had denied Jesus three times. So, this was something that happened, and that's how Jesus went to the cross, and that was the image that Peter had in his heart. And now he sees the risen Jesus, and he's got to confront Jesus. But instead of running away because of what he had done, which was wrong, he had betrayed Jesus. He runs towards him because he understood that Jesus is a forgiving, loving Savior. So, three times, Jesus asked him the question. Three times, because he denied him three times. Well, let's look at this. Jesus says to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And some people have said, who are the these? And some say, well, he was surrounding himself by the fishing boats and the nets and the great harvest of fish. Maybe what Jesus was saying to Simon was, do you love me more than all these material goods? You love me more than all the stuff that you have around you. Do you love me more than them, this great catch of fishes? And do you love me more than those? I mean, do you love me more? Are you willing to give up a successful career in fishing, a steady job, at a reasonable and comfort life? Are you willing to give all this up to work for my people? This could have been a challenge to Peter. Maybe Peter had to make that decision himself to see if he would give everything up that he had to serve God. But there's another version of what did Jesus mean when he said, do you love me more than these? It could very well have been that he referred to the rest of the disciples. Simon, he said, do you love me more than your fellow disciples do? See, this guy, Peter, had a complex. He really thought he was it. And reminds me of Cain and Abel, how Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel because Abel was better than him. And his whole identity was based that he was better than. And since Abel emerged as the most preferred one, he had to put him to death. His identity was tied in him being superior. Sometimes our identity is tied to being superior to others. Yeah, discrimination comes into mind, huh? I'm not like them. I'll let you decide who the them are. But see, this is completely different. Because Jesus is saying, do you love me more than the disciples? Do you love me more than the people around you? And I believe this is the best meaning because Peter doesn't make any comparisons anymore. Peter doesn't say anything except he responds to him and say, you know that I love you. In all of our failings in life, and we have them all of our negations of the Lord in our lives, those small insignificant moments in our life that we say no to the Lord and yes to whatever is convenient at that moment, so it appears. Those moments when we're supposed to witness for Jesus and say something about Jesus, we keep it quiet. Those moments when the Lord calls us to speak favorably of him, of our faith, and you keep it quiet because you don't want to be embarrassed. And when people pressure a little bit, you deny Jesus like Peter did. And how many times we have done that? Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to invade your space. And yet they invade our space with craziness. And we keep silent because we want to be apropos. We want to be polite. We want to be nice. If you want to be appropriate and if you want to be nice, you need to say, Jesus is the Savior of my life. In any circumstance. With wisdom, of course, but you must speak up. Here is Peter who denied the Lord three times. So Jesus asked the question three times, do you love me? Do you love me? For the three times that Peter denied his Lord, I am sure. I think three times the Lord gave him a chance to affirm his love for Jesus. He comes back to you. He comes back to me. Jesus is a forgiven Lord. He is a forgiving Savior. And Peter had the opportunity given by Jesus to wipe out the memory of the thing he had done wrong. I want you to know that Jesus knows all of our shortcomings. And Jesus knows that we can come up with a bunch of excuses why we said no in a moment of witnessing, in a moment of standing our faith, and in this moment when we should have said, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And the opportunities for us to witness every single day of our life. Not a day goes by that you don't have the opportunity to present Jesus as your Savior. That's absolutely true. And yet sometimes we keep it in there, tuck it in there, because somehow, in some way, we're ashamed or something. Some people say, well, I don't have a calling to preach, so I don't witness to anybody. All of us are witnesses, and you don't have to have a calling for preaching. As a matter of fact, thank you that you're not trying to do that, because then you would take my job. But we all have a responsibility to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to speak out. I know there are exaggerations. I remember, and I go ahead and use this because I can, because I'm here, and you're not. My mother, she's with the Lord, but my mother was an avid witnesser. She liked to tell everybody about the Lord. I think she was exaggerating a little bit, but one day, I'd rather have that than silence, you know, because some people are mute, and you would never know that they're Christians. And so we went to I don't know whether it was a Ralph's or a Vaughn's. I think you probably know where I'm going with this. And we were going to the to check in our products, and she had a cart, and there were three lines. And she said, let's go to the one that's the longest. I said, Mom, why don't we get out of here quick? No, let's go to this one. So we went to the longest one. And I wonder why. You know why? Because she was going to tell the person, whoever would be in front or behind, about the Lord. And I just died 1,000 deaths. You know how that goes? It's, excuse me, are you a Christian? Oh my God. I said, híjole, mamá, ¿qué estás haciendo, por favor? And she just, I mean, that's who she was. I'm not advocating for you to imitate my mother, because I don't imitate my mother. But what I'm saying is that there needs to be a buoyancy and a thrill in our hearts to be able to tell others about the Lord without being ashamed, or without thinking that we are intruding in their space. So Peter was graciously forgiven, and three times he said, Lord, you know that I love you. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't reasoning with him. He wasn't telling, well, you know what it was. I wanted to save my skin. He kept quiet and said, you know, with all my imperfections, bottom line, Lord, I love you. How many of you love the Lord? Amen. Of course we do. And he knows all about our shortcomings and all about our imperfections. But let me just tell you something that's very important. And this is what I want you to take home with today. Love brings something to you. Love brought something to Peter that brings to you and to me. First, it brought him a task. Yeah. If you love me, Jesus said, then give your life to shepherding the sheep and the lambs of my flock. Whoops. You can prove that you love me, not by your words, but loving others. So if you and I say, I love Jesus, then you must love others. Sometimes the unlovable ones are the ones that need to be loved. The ones that may look different from us, the ones that are out there in the fringes, and the ones that are right next to you every day as you toil for a living. If you love me, there's a task. And this task is to take care of those around you. Love is the greatest privilege in the world, but it brings the greatest responsibility in the world. I cannot truly be a victorious disciple of Christ, follower of Christ, lover of Christ, if I do not love people around me, regardless of who they are. I was in the mission field for many years, self-appointed missionary. I think I was getting $50 a month. And that money was being given to me by the national church that I was working in. I was single, you know. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be single? Well, I mean, I thank God I'm married, but it was great to live as a single guy with no bigger responsibilities than just to, where am I going to sleep tonight and what am I going to eat? And I was very slim in those days, you know. I mean, right now it's a shame. But anyway, this is what you get. And we were doing a crusade, and in that crusade, all kinds of people came. This was in Guatemala, el país de algunos de ustedes, okay? And we were preaching, and this guy came up, and he was as drunk as a skunk. I've never seen a drunk skunk. But this guy smelled like crazy. Who knows where he had slept the last 5 days? And so as he was coming forward and we needed to pray for him, I said to my friend, his name is Glenn, Brother Glenn, I said, Glenn, I don't think this guy's out of it. He says, you go pray for him anyway. And so I did not know how I was going to hold my breath and pray. But I managed to do it. And by the time we were through praying, this man had sobered up. The Lord sobered him up. He gave his life to the Lord, and in the next 4 days of the crusade, he brought his entire family, and he got to know the Lord, and his life was changed forever. My first instinct was, deja el borracho tranquilo. Leave the drunk alone. But if we have the love of Christ, and thank God for Glenn to tell me what to do, and I'm saying this to you, pass it on from Glenn to you. Don't discriminate. Everyone deserves to experience the love of Christ. All of us need to say, because I love you, Lord, I will love others. So the first thing that I find here is that golly, I mean, it's a task. When you say, I love you, Lord, then he says, then take care of my sheep. It goes for all of us. It brings a task. It brings a ministry. You don't come to Christ just to sit in a pew. It's more to life than what you have here this morning. Thank God you're here. It should be. We're all supposed to be here. But it's more than that. It's when you walk out those doors, you love people. And you serve in the love of Christ, and you witness for them. You don't deny them. You don't deny the knowledge of Christ, but you share it with others. You know, we used to have a class years ago called Personal Evangelism. And we were taught in that class how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. And there are so many ways which can do this in our church. We could do this. It's not difficult to do. But I remember the first thing they told us was, first of all, you pray the Lord will make an impact in the person's heart. And understand that God works in people differently at different times. And when you face this person for the first time, you need to lay the seed. So it doesn't happen from one moment to the next. Maybe you leap, you put the seed in there, somebody else comes around and waters it, and God gives the increase. But we must always be ready to speak to others about the love of God, regardless of their station in their spiritual development or non-development. We must be witnesses of the Lord. His love gives us this task to do what God has called us to do. So I'm asking you, if you love Jesus, what is the task that he has assigned you? What are you supposed to do? What is it that God calls you to do? God calls you to do what you are. Where you may find yourself, you need to be an able, responsible witness of a lifestyle, and not only a lifestyle, but you need to have the verbiage, you need to have the speech that correlates with the Lord that loves you and that you love the Lord. You need to have a task. That's what love is all about. And yes, even in human relations, you love someone, and then you need to work on that love, don't you? You work on love. You develop the love. You grow it. I don't want to go there. That's a rabbit trail. Forget it. But something else love brought. This is serious. It brought Peter across. It's getting serious now. Because Jesus said to him, when you are young, you can choose where you will go. But the day will come when they will stretch out your hands on a cross and you will be taken on a way you did not choose. And that day came. It was in Rome. Peter died for his Lord. He also went to the cross, and tradition says that as they nailed him to the cross, he wanted to be nailed with his head downward because he said he was not worthy to die as the Lord did. Love brought Peter a task, but it also brought him a crown, a cross. Sometimes we think we're going to love God, and we're going to serve God, and it's going to be Disneyland forever, whatever that means. I don't know about that. Should have said that. But anyway, you know what I mean. I'm going to have a heyday now because Christ is in my life. There's a cross to be borne. And like it or not, there's a price to be paid. And there are no exceptions from one generation to the next. Everybody that loves the Lord has a task, and everybody that loves the Lord has a cross. Don't tell me your cross is your mother-in-law. Excuse me, yep. Mother-in-law-to-be. Excuse me. That was inevitable. That whole row shook there, you know. So, but it's true. It's not your mother-in-law. It is the assignment that the Lord has given you that you must die for, or that you're willing to die for. Love always involves responsibility, but it always involves sacrifice. So there's a preaching that goes on today about a prosperity gospel that you're never going to sacrifice, that everything's going to be okay, you're never going to have a problem, and God's going to bless you so much that you're going to be driving Cadillacs and Mercedes Benz and whatever make of a car that you think is top line, and ladies, you're going to be wearing mink coats, and I don't know what the men wear. Oh yeah, very prevalent. You know, you claim it. You claim it, God gives it to you, and you can tell God what to do because he's asked you to tell him what. Calm down, will you? It's not true, it's false gospel. Sometimes people from those churches come to me, and they have a problem in their lives, like they're sick and they can't get healed. And they said, I've done everything possible. Why isn't God not healing me? He's supposed to instantly heal me. The moment I ask him to, God's not an errand boy. We all have our path. We're all frail. We're all going to die of something, but we're all going to die. Unless the Lord comes for all of us, that's what I want. But we're all going to go through suffering. It's part of being human and part of being redeemed by the Lord. I know that one of these days my body will be laid to rest and I will experience the resurrection. My body will come back to life in a different way. A scripture, we'll talk about that in the next few Sundays. What it means to believe in the resurrection of Christ means I believe in the resurrection of my own body. That's our faith. It goes beyond the grave. But while we're still here in this body, love always involves responsibility and a sacrifice of some sort. And we are not really loving the Lord unless we're prepared to face his task and take up his cross. Why did John record this incident? It's wonderful. Not for nothing. And you know, the assignment for Peter was significant. People say that John St. John, was the greatest apostle that Jesus had, because he was the greatest writer. You read, I don't read Greek. I struggle with Greek in concordances and book helps and stuff like that. I have enough problems with English, as you know, and Spanish, as you know. So I'm not a linguist. I make mistakes. My diction is wrong. There are certain words that I avoid in the pulpit because it can be misunderstood and ruin the whole message. But John was the greatest writer. And that's a place he has. Others feel that maybe it was Paul was the greatest one because he traveled all over the world. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. You may not be a great writer. You may not be able to travel to the ends of the earth. Peter, however, helps us. Because you see, in this chapter, Peter too has his place. And a place of honor in the sense that he told him, you take care of my sheep. You take care of people around you. You be a witness to others around you. I love the steps of Peter because all of us can follow the steps of Peter. You and I may not be able to go all around the world, pata caliente, como decimos. I did that when I was young. I can't do that anymore. I'm not the greatest writer in the world. Good grief, I know I'm not. But I can always love the sheep. I can always love people. We may not be able to think like John or go out to the ends of the world, but all of us can guard somebody, can care for somebody from going astray. We can all care for the sheep around us. We can look at the wounded sheep and bring to them healing and strength. You and I need to get involved with the lambs of Christ. We need to invest ourselves with people by giving them the word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and for hearing us, Lord. For today, indeed, you're asking the question, do you love me? And Lord, we want to respond to you to say, yes, Lord, I love you. And you ask again, do you love me? And we say, I love you, Lord. And the third time you ask, and our hearts can be grieved. And we say, Lord, you know all things. Of course I love you. So Lord, as we say to you that we love you, we gladly accept the task in our lives. And Lord, help us to bear our cross. Whatever inconvenience we may have, whatever sacrifice we must do, we are prepared to face the task you give us, and we're prepared to take up the cross that is ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift your hands and sing that. You don't need to get up, but at least lift your hands and just sing from your heart.
It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. All I do, I honor. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you.
If you have the elements for communion, if you wish to be seated while we do this, it may be more comfortable for opening the instruments that we've given you. There's so much that we could say about communion, but that will be another message. But know that this is a very special time. In our church, we don't hold you responsible for being a member of the church to take communion. Some people put restrictions on it. We do not. We have an open communion table. All we ask you is that you be a believer in the Lord and that you act in good conscience as you take the elements. So the scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Will you take the bread, and will you eat the bread in remembrance of the Lord?" Thank you, Lord. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Will you take the cup and will you drink it in remembrance of the Lord? For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Will you stand as we dismiss?
You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. It's all confused. Let's do it again, all together now, children. This is the day. Okay. Should have done it that way the first time. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org or check out our Facebook page. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.